Let's pray, everyone.
Our gracious God, please prepare us to receive your word this morning as we begin today to look together at Paul's letter to the Romans. Continue to transform our lives to be disciples of Christ, to grow in our knowledge of him, to lay down our lives to him and for others. Amen. Last Sunday, you'll recall that the best news ever that we believe was heard. Again, Jesus Christ rose and is alive today. For Christians, this surely must be the best news ever, but clearly it doesn't get top billing in the minds of most. News about more long weekends might, but frankly, we live in a world where the news we hear is bad. People have so much more information, so much more educated, so many more comforts, so much more. We find ourselves living in a culture becoming more hostile, more despairing, more dysfunctional, more intolerant. We appear less likely to be able to solve our problems than ever before, and hope for a better world is gone. Whatever mountain of achievement people have been going up, climbing through some sort of technology or gadget or product, no matter what we understand about the human mind, what makes for apparent meaningful relationships, there remains the compelling reality, whether we acknowledge it or not, of our own sin. We could look at sin in several ways. Let me suggest just four ways sin is bad news for people. First of all, sin at its core is selfishness. It says I'm God and I'll do what I like. It's pride. And the dominant letter in sin is I. Man is utterly self-centered. He wants to please himself. He wants to be comfortable. He wants to satisfy his own desires. He wants to do his own thing in the way that he wants. He wants to consume things and people. And when anything ceases to not sort of feed his own ego, it's discarded like a worn out old shoe. People throw away things and throw away people. People demand their rights. They want satisfaction no matter what. They hunger for gain, hunger for sex, hunger for popularity, for money, for thrills. Greed dominates, and then it alienates. There's a diminishing return that the more you have, the less you have. That's bad news. People reaping the fruit of sinful selfishness. Second feature is guilt of sin, pained conscience. Guilt produces fear, fear of retaliation, of judgment. People try to bury their guilt, getting more things, getting more experiences, more trips, bury it in booze, bury it in drugs. And the deeper and deeper man goes into the pit of his own despair, unable to then have any kind of meaningful relationships. Which leads to a third component of sin, and that's meaninglessness. When life becomes the pursuit of some unfulfilling selfishness and the cover-up of guilt, it just loses its meaning, its direction and value. And that's bad news for people. And there's a fourth component, hopelessness. A meaningless life now, what about the future? What is there? What hope is there? And you might think, you know, as clever as we are and as educated as we are and capable and powerful as we are, to sort of analyse all the problems and to sort of create all the stuff that we can and so on, that we might be able to solve all these painful concerns. But man is incapable and he cannot alter the human heart. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The news is bad. And as long as human history goes on, we're not getting any better. But you know what? I have more bad news. As if it wasn't bad enough with people stuck in sin and selfishness and guilt and meaninglessness and hopelessness, the really bad news is Jesus said to people, you will die in your sins. And if anyone dies in that state unforgiven, Jesus says they're going into eternal hell forever. That's very bad news for people. In bad shape now and horribly worse in the future. Well, you say once in a while, there is some good news. Well, yes, there is. We get Commonwealth Game gold medals. There's some triumphs in sport. Even the West Tigers win. There are moments and incidents in life where we have fleeting joys. People still have to sleep. But is there any really long-term good news? Anything to say to people living in the world, sort of catapulting rapidly to an eternal ruin? Is there anything that can take away selfishness? Anything to deliver us from guilt, to secure meaningful relationships? Anything to give us lasting hope? Anything to tell us how to escape judgment? Is there really any good news? And the answer is yes, there is. There's good news from God. Have a look with me at Romans 1 in your handout. Notice firstly a messenger. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And we see Paul as the writer of these to these believers in Rome. And he's the servant, you see, and he has a master, Jesus Christ. And we see here that Paul has a special purpose there, called to be an apostle. And we know in the Bible that he was met on Damascus Road to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. In other words, Paul understands his place and his role in the unfolding plan of God to bring the good news to all people. He's telling people good news of God, good news from God to men. That's what the gospel means. Good news that you don't have to live with this diminishing return of trying to fulfill your sinful desires. Good news that you don't have to live with guilt and that offspring fear. Good news that you don't have to live with meaninglessness and hopelessness. And good news you don't have to live with the fear of judgment. It's good news that gives people forgiveness for all their sins and selfishness and restores people to God's favour and gives them the hope of a resurrected body. It's good news from God. But then you've got to ask, why would God bother? Why would he bother to give good news to bad people? There's a fanciful story of a young man in France. The man was doted on by his mother for years, all his life, completely devoted to his care, but sadly, he grieved her and chose a wicked lifestyle. And eventually, the young man became enthralled with an evil woman. And she plunged the man into a wayward life, and the mother pleaded and pleaded with the son to come back, but the woman turned her son against his mother. And one night, the story goes, the evil woman accused the young man of not really loving her. He said, "But I do love you." She said, "No, you don't love me. If you really love me, you'll get rid of your mother and all those constant pleadings of hers." And according to the story, the young man rushed out and went to his mother and dealt the death blows, killing her. And trying to prove his devotion to the woman, he cut his mother's heart out of her body, put it in his hand, and rushed out, running to the woman he told he loved. But as he ran, he stumbled and fell in the street. And the climax of the story goes like this, that as he rushed on, stumbling and falling, then lying in the street, from the bleeding heart came a voice, "My son, are you hurt?" And that is the way God has loved each of us. That is why God gives good news to bad people. Because the love of God could not even be silenced in the death of his own son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." He loves us far, far more than that mother could ever have loved her wicked son. How deep is the Father's love for each of us? So Paul says, "I have come with a message, and my message is good news from God." And then notice with me from Romans 1, a promised message, verse 2. Have a look at there. The gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You read the Old Testament there, you hear the prophets saying that there's going to come a Saviour, a Lamb who would be slain for people's sins. There is one coming who's going to be lifted up to be the source of forgiveness for people. One promised who will bear our sin. And the prophet said he's coming. And God's speaking his truth in the Old Testament, revealing his good news for all people. And it's all bound up in this one person. A message about his son. You see it there in verse 3. It's regarding his son. The good news from God is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The philosopher Socrates once said, "Oh, that someone would arise to show us God." Jesus did. Second person of the Trinity came into the world to bring good news from God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul describes him there in verse 3 as a man. He's a man descended of David according to his human nature. He's born in the line of King David, the one whose kingdom would be established forever, as we read in 2 Samuel 7. So he's a royal man. And the Paul is saying, "I'm proclaiming the good news from God to you about God's Son, that Jesus Christ is man, he's royal man. The one who has every right to reign on King David's throne forever." And see, why did he need to be man? That he might die for mankind as a substitute in our place to bear the punishment for people in the cross. That's good news. That's good news. That I don't have to die in my own sin. That I don't have to pay the penalty for my own sin. And that I don't have to go through to his judgment for my wrongdoing. That's good news. Jesus is also God. So you see it there in verse 4, we read that through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. He's proven to be God by the fact that he came out the other side of the grave with mighty power, and so a son begotten of Mary and a son begotten from the grave. A son because he came out, so to speak, from the womb of Mary, and a son because he came out of the womb of rock, the tomb. His deity shows up no more clearly than in his resurrection. And then we see in verse 4, he was declared Son of God. That word declared there is translated from the word that we get for horizon. It means marking off. Just like the horizon marks off what? The earth and the sky. And so, what marked Jesus off as God? Was it he conquered death through the Holy Spirit, as verse 4 tells us. He came out of the grave and lives again, showing beyond all question Jesus, the Son of God in power. History tells us he was a man. First century historian Josephus records evidence writing about 60 years after Jesus was on earth. And this is what he said about Jesus. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man. He was a doer of wonderful works. He was Christ. And when Pilate, and at the suggestion of the principled men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those who that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive at the third day. And the resurrection, the single mark, the horizon, that marks off his deity as good news. The poet said, I know a soul is steeped in sin that no man's art can cure. But I know a name, a name, a name that makes that soul pure. I know a life that is lost to God and bound down by the things of earth. But I know a name, a name, a name that'll bring that soul new birth. And that name, friends, is Jesus Christ, the message about his Son, that you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he paid the price for our sin, that he is the God-man, and then confess him as Lord and Saviour and be saved. That's good news. And it's where selfishness is conquered and sin and guilt and meaninglessness and hopelessness. And it's where our judgment is conquered. It's this good news from God that Paul uses. In verse 5, you see it there. He uses it to call people from all the nations to the obedience that comes from faith. The same good news that included in Rome those believers, and Paul hadn't met them. And so we see them, they're called to believe, but they're also called, we see there in verse 6, to belong. Called to believe, called to belong to Jesus Christ. They are an included people with all those who are belonging to Jesus Christ. And if they're an included people, they are also, we see in verse 7, a blessed people. Verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That is, those who have been set apart. The people of God in Rome, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that same greeting come to us this morning? We who are the set apart ones are saints, right? We are the ones who are loved by God. We are the ones who are blessed people of God in grace because we've been brought into the family of God through the saving work of Jesus Christ, so that now we have peace with God. Grace and peace from God to his people included and to his blessed people. That's good news from God. I wonder how much we are gripped by these privileges that we now have, especially in a world where we see so many that are so indifferent and are so determined to resist. That God called you. So all God's blessings come to the ones who believes. There was a very wealthy man, extremely wealthy in fact, possessed so many great treasures of art and really had been a lifelong enterprise for him and his family and collected them over the years. The man had a son, an only son, an ordinary boy, really, But sometime in his mid-teens, the boy sadly died. His father was so grief-stricken over the death of his son that within a matter of a couple of months, he also died. The father's will provided that everything that might be sold at auction would go to the highest bidder. And the father stipulated in the will that the first item to go under the hammer of all the treasures that he possessed was a pitcher, an oil painting of his son. In keeping with the will of the father, expressed in that first paragraph, the auctioneer put the portrait up of the deceased son. No one really cared about the boy or the picture. And several moments went by in silence. No one bid. And then finally, an old servant who had sort of cared in the family's estate for many years bid a paltry sum of 75 cents. There were no other bids, and the auctioneer said, "Sold for 75 cents. And then the dramatic moment came that the rest of the auction was stopped because the will had further stipulated that whoever bought that pitcher would receive the entire estate. Our God is not unlike that wealthy businessman. God says that if you love my son, I'll give you all my treasure. And friends, that is good news from God to you this morning. Father, we thank you that we can know you through your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can know our sins forgiven, that we can know our selfishness gone, that we can know in Christ our guilt is removed, for he bore it, and life is meaning and hope. We thank you that we can know in Jesus Christ there is no judgment. You will never punish us, for you already punished him for our sins, all of them. You haven't told us to do anything to earn this salvation. There aren't any formulas. There aren't any rituals. You just said, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that you raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. We know that means turning to Jesus Christ and a willingness to follow him. Lord, may we all hear this morning, this good news from you for bad people, good news of forgiveness, good news of heaven for all who turn from their sin and put their complete trust in what Christ did on the cross. We thank you for this good news in Jesus' name. Amen.